All right, this morning we're going to bring a, well, sort of a New Year's message, but not exactly. The title of our message is going to be All Things New, and it's a message for the new year, but not exactly a New Year's message per se. But for our text, if you want to turn with me to Revelation 21, we find the verse that gives us the thought for our message this morning. Revelation 21, and in verse 5. Revelation 21:5. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." True and faithful. The true God, who speaks nothing but truth, said these words are true and faithful. "Behold, I make all things new." So the new year is almost upon us. Just a few more hours, I guess you could say, before the new year begins. And it seems like the old year, it just flew by, as years just seem to do. But every year we always wonder, you know, what will the new year bring? What will the new year bring? And sometimes we'll bring lessons or messages about resolutions or whatever, or revolutions. Anyway, but this morning we're not going to do any messages of that kind. The Bible really doesn't say much about the new year per se, but it does have a lot to say about new things, and especially things that pertain to salvation and the future hope of God's people. And that's going to be the focus this morning of our thoughts. We're going to kind of combine the idea of the new year with the new things of God that we have in Christ. And we'll see several of these, Lord willing, as time permits. So I'm just going to kind of go down through these fairly quickly. But if you want to try to follow along with some of these, I've got more verses than what we could possibly turn to on some. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, we're going to see, first of all, that there's a new and living way made into heaven. A new and living way. Jesus has made a new and living way into heaven and into the very presence of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, we see here in verses 19 and 20, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." How do you get into God's presence? In prayer, or when we eventually go to heaven to be with God? Through the blood of Jesus, and that's the only way. "By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil," that is to say, his flesh. And through the veil of his flesh, that is his body and his blood, which he sacrificed on the cross for all who will believe. And by faith in Jesus, we have boldness to enter into the very presence of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through a new and living way. And that is the only way that anyone can approach unto God, is through Jesus, through his blood that he shed. Thank God Jesus made a new and living way into heaven for us this morning. And I pray that today, or this coming year, that you will see that it was done, that he did it for you as well, if you're not saved this morning. Next, there is a new covenant. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Some of these would be, might take us a minute to find, but way back in the Old Testament, the major prophets, Jeremiah, after Isaiah there, Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Jeremiah the prophet said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now that was prophetic, wasn't it? That wasn't speaking of back in the Old Testament times, but that was speaking about New Testament times, and Jesus fulfills that prophecy and speaks of that prophecy, basically, in Matthew 26, 28, at the first Lord's Supper observance there with Jesus and his disciples in Matthew 26 and verse 28. Jesus, of course, in the observance of the supper, and verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament." That word testament is the same word as the word covenant, so it could be translated interchangeably. New Testament, or the New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. This is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The New Covenant, or the New Testament, sometimes called the Blood Covenant or the Covenant of Grace. You'll hear it referred to by Baptist preachers anyway. This is the covenant that God made with his Son, the Lord Jesus, and all of his chosen people, for whom Jesus would come and make the atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And Jesus was portraying there at that first Lord's Supper what he was about to do, wasn't he? About what he is about to do. It's called the New Covenant because it would replace the old covenant of the law of Moses, which could never save the soul. No one was ever saved by the law. All who will believe in Jesus are partakers in the new covenant of grace. All who have come to God by Jesus Christ, believing on him, that blood was shed, the body was broken for you, are partakers of this new covenant that God has made with his Son and with his people. Then, next, there is the new birth. Now, we're familiar with John chapter 3, where the Lord told Nicodemus something that Nicodemus had no idea what he was talking about. And, of course, Nicodemus was a master, a teacher of Israel. He should have understood these things. Jesus told him so. But we'll see in John chapter 3 a couple of passages. But sinful mankind needs to be born again by the Spirit of God. We cannot see or enter the kingdom of God or have any hope of heaven, eternal life, without the new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus speaking here to Nicodemus says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." Your Bible might give a reference there for that born again. Born from above, it means the same thing. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And then down in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And then Peter, I'll just read these for time's sake, but Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, 23, Chris, I believe, read this verse this morning, "being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And then in 1 Peter 2, 2, Peter said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." Newborn babes. You know, we're born of God, born of the Spirit, born through the word of God, as the Spirit used that word to quicken us and enable us to come and receive and believe on the gospel of Jesus. We are, when the moment we're saved, it doesn't matter if you're a 7 years old or 97 years old, you're as newborn babes. We're newborn babes in Christ, and that's what Peter's meant here. We're born again by the Spirit of God, and the gospel of Jesus is the work of the Holy Spirit on the heart and soul of the lost sinner by the power of the gospel. And you always note that anytime anyone ever is saved, they always hear the gospel of Christ taught or preached unto them. And so the Spirit uses the word of God to born us again, to give us new birth to that incorruptible seed the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, next there is a new heart and a new spirit that Jesus gives us when he saves us. Ezekiel chapter 36, I want to go way back there. It's Ezekiel's after Jeremiah, Lamentations, and then Ezekiel. I'm just going to read one verse here, so if you'd like to follow along, Ezekiel 36 and in verse 26. And there are several verses in Ezekiel on the subject of this thought, but we'll just read this one. It says in verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Now, this is the first open heart surgery, I guess you could say, God performed on mankind. Not a carnal, not a physical surgery, not with a knife, but with the sword of the Word of God. You know, that two-edged sword cuts down deep into the heart of man and reveals, you know, his deepest thoughts, his deepest affection, cutting asunder, even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's where the Word of God is able to cut like a knife into the heart and make that necessary incision for the Spirit of God to implant the new heart, the heart of flesh, the heart that can know God. Well, the heart has been defined as the seat of our affections. What is the heart? You hear that used a lot, find it in secular music, Christian music, the Bible. What is the heart? It's the seat of our affections. What do we love this morning? What do you love? What gets most of your affection, your life's attention? Well, that's our heart. It's been defined as the seat of our affections. The new heart is a heart that loves the Lord Jesus and all the wondrous things of God and his Word. That's the new heart that the Spirit gives when we're born again. The new heart loves the things of God that our old heart once hated. Now, I'm a living testimony to that fact, because there was certainly a time in my life where I was saved that I didn't love anything about the things of God. In fact, I can honestly have to say, and I'm not proud to say so, but I hated the things of God. I didn't want to be around a Christian. I didn't want to hear a Christian tell me about Christ or about inviting me to church or any of the rest of it. I was just as much a lost heathen as anyone else before the Lord saved me. But you know what? The Spirit of God is able to do a work. The Spirit of God is able to change. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, is able to do a surgery on us and give us a new heart, a new change. The new heart loves the things of God that our old heart once hated, and it hates the things of the flesh and the world and the devil that the old heart once loved. And that's the big change you see when a person's saved. They love the things of Christ. They love Jesus, and they want to do nothing more they'd rather do than to do things that please Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we all live up to that at all times in our lives. We get caught up. We start getting worldly. We start, you know, get too influenced by the world around us. And first thing you know, our affections change. God help us. We need revival if we're saved. We need to be revived. But certainly we do backslide sometime. But that's the new heart. And the new heart within us loves Jesus and loves the things of God. And it's in there. It's been planted in our bosom, as it were. We have that new heart from God and that new spirit, and we will continue to love the things of God, regardless of our circumstance in this world. Romans 7:6 tells us, "But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter." We should serve in newness of the spirit. The new spirit is the spirit that the Holy Spirit puts within us when he saves us. And it is the power that enables us as believers to serve God and to do the things that please him. You know what? We can't please God. We can't please the Lord in the flesh. We can't please Jesus in the flesh. Men have tried down through the centuries of the ages trying to please God, trying to do things that would be pleasing to God, to try to be accepted to God through the things that we do in the flesh, but we can't do it. We must have the new spirit. We must have the spirit of God within us that enables us, empowers us to be able to serve God and do those things that please Him. And that's the only way we're going to be able to serve God acceptably. Well, the next is the new creature. Not the new preacher, but the new creature. One time was at church, and Dave McDonough had three little redhead, still does, they're not little anymore though, three little redhead boys, and one of them, Andy, I think it was, said, "I wish that creature quit creaching." He got a little long-winded, I guess. Brother Malo, back in the day, you know, long many moons ago, my kids were about that size then too, just little kids, and "I wish that creature would quit creaching." But that's what we do, you know. We get preachers aren't preaching by the Spirit. We preach instead of preach out of the old creature nature. But anyway, the Bible says, and I'll just read this verse for time's sake, but 2 Corinthians 5:17, pretty familiar verse to most of us. It says, therefore, well, since I hear pages turning, we'll flip over there. It's not too far away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul has several things to say concerning this, but for the sake of time, we won't go back and read the whole context. But verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's actually an active tense, becoming new. Okay, all things are becoming new. A new creature, or is a new creation, in other words, which God creates in us the moment we believe. The old things of the old life are passing away, and we are becoming new as we become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you know what that's called, passing away the old things, and the new things are becoming new. Well, that's our sanctification, isn't it? That's as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as newborn babes. You know, we over time, the old things of this life grow faintly dim, strangely dim, but the new things of Christ become brighter and newer every day as we grow in the Lord. But so we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things, you know, there's a change. There's been a lot of professions of faith over the years, ever since the beginning of the gospel age, really. But there's been a lot of professions of faith, but people have a lot of times don't live up to their professions of faith. They don't live lives that show forth Jesus Christ and the things of God. They don't show forth a love for the things of God. And, But there is a change. There should definitely be a change. Not everybody grows at the same rate. We're not a clone of people. We're individual Christians. We don't all grow the same way. We all have different backgrounds and different things. But regardless of all that, there still ought to be a change, and it ought to there ought to be a growth as well. Well, next is a new man. Paul spoke about the new man in Ephesians 4:24. It says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, you know, the new man is just another way of saying a new heart, new spirit, a new creature. These are just sort of different synonymous ways that the Word of God speaks of the same thing that the Word of God does within, and the Spirit of God does within the child of God when he saves us. But there is a new man. The Bible speaks of it. The new man loves God and his righteous, holy word. He loves doing and living godly, holy, righteous life of serving and pleasing God. That's what the new man wants to do. That's what the desire of every new man. When I say new man, that's, you know, no gender specific there. In other words, every saved man or woman, boy or girl, has the new man, right? Okay. But that's what the new man wants to do. That doesn't mean we always do what the new man wants us to do, because many times we don't always follow after the new man. You know, but Paul specifically told us that we need to be doing so. Put on the new man. Okay? The new man is the new man within us is in full agreement with God and His Word, and it desires to live accordingly. We've been born again by the Spirit of God. We are in full agreement with God and His Word. We don't try to buck or fight or, you know, kick against the truth of God's Word. Now, we certainly did before we were saved, and the old man still does. There's a battle going on, as we know Galatians tells us. But the new man is diametrically opposite of the old man, which is opposed to, it opposes and wars against the old man as long as we're in these old mortal bodies. So every Christian has a warfare. We have the old sinful nature still within our bosoms, but we have the new nature, the new man given of God, and the two war against each other. And so which one wins is the question. Well, like preachers used to always say, the one we feed the most. You know, you got two dogs, you know, they're fighting. You got the big, nice, white German Shepherd. You got that black one, you know, the black one, the old sinful dog. And you got that white, good, holy dog, you know. And they're always fighting with one another. Well, which one's going to win? Well, you starve that black one and you feed the white one, he's going to win, isn't he? So people, not many Christians, wonder why I just don't seem to be winning the battle. I just don't seem to be making any progress in my Christian life. Well, which dog are you feeding? Are we feeding the flesh or are we feeding the spirit? And they have a completely different diet. You know, the flesh thrives on, feasts on the old lustful things of this life and the world. And say, that new spiritual man feasts on the things of the Word of God, serving God, and pleasing God. So which one are we feeding? That's one that's going to be winning in our lives. Well, there's a new life. And talk a little bit about this. Romans 6:4 says, Therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, symbolically, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's a new life. The Christian life is a new life. Till you're saved, you won't fully understand the meaning of that, but it is a new life. We have new friends, new ambitions. A whole new lifestyle is guided by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It is full of new wonders from God and new blessings, new visions of eternal glory as it sets its affections on things above. And when the Lord saves us, He truly makes our lives new and beautiful in His sight. We have a new life. When the Lord saves us, we're new creatures, and we have a new life, new creature life, you know. That old life, that old filthy life of sin, whatever it might have been. I'm not saying, you know, every person that is saved was out in all kinds of wicked, vile, you know, sinful habits and practices in their life. You know, Apostle Paul, he was a wicked sinner, the chief of sinners, and he was the most noble of Pharisees. He was a chief among the religious leaders of his day. So it doesn't matter where the Lord found us in what kind of sin, whether it was in legalism or whether it was in wicked, ungodly sin. Either way, there's a new life. And Paul, boy, he had a new life, didn't he? Those things that he hated, now he loved. You know, he was out hunting down Christians that he might put them in jail, that he might have them put to death. And then the next day he's out there preaching Jesus as the only way of salvation. And he spent the rest of his life giving his life for Jesus, and was all the time persecuted, put to death for Jesus' sake, you know, all day long, every day. What a difference, profound difference we see in the life of that man. Well, there is a change. It may not all be as drastic and dramatic as Paul's was, but there is going to be a change. Well, there's a new commandment. John 13:34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now this new commandment is a totally new ruling power in the lives of God's people. Love becomes the new rule of life and the rule of our relationships with fellow believers as well as unbelievers in the world. By keeping this new commandment, love will fulfill all the other commandments of God. You know, really, when it comes right down to it, I mean, we need to know all the commandments of God, all the do's and don'ts, you know, of the Ten Commandments, and as they break down into smaller commandments, you know. But we need to understand those things. But when it comes right down to it, we can't fulfill any of those commandments but by the love of God. You know, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we love, we won't murder, we won't cheat, we won't steal, we won't commit adultery, we won't do any of the things that the Ten Commandments command. We won't bear false witness against our neighbor or anyone else, and we'll be the kind of people, in other words, that we ought to be. So if we could love as Jesus commanded, then we'll fulfill all the law. We'll fulfill all the law of God. By the law of love, we become like our Heavenly Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who showed the greatest love when he laid down his life for his people. Well, there's a new song. Chris talked a little bit about new song or songs, you know, a Christian song. Well, there's a new song. With all the other new things that Jesus gives us, we also have a new song. It springs forth from the new heart and the new life that we have in Jesus. It's a song of love for our Redeemer, Jesus, and all the wonderful things of God that are the perpetual theme of our song. Everything we sing about, we want to sing about Jesus or something pertaining to God or his kingdom. It comes in 1,000 different melodies with 1,000 different lyrical poems and prose, but it has one central theme, and that theme is Jesus, our blessed Savior. Christian has a new song. Psalm 40 verse 3 tells us, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. I tell you what, when the Lord saves you, he put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I tell you, a joyful Christian with a song of Jesus in our lips. It says that the many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. No better testimony than to go about this world singing the praise of Jesus and his salvation that he has saved us with. Even in heaven, we'll be singing a new song to our Redeemer there in Revelation 5:9. We haven't quite got there. That's our next lesson on Revelation, Lord willing, next Sunday evening. But Revelation 5:9 tells us, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Speaking about the Lamb there. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's a hymn entitled, There's a New Song in My Heart. We used to sing it as a choir song way back when it was at Bethany Baptist Church. And I'll just read the words to you. Once my life was filled with discord, sadness reigned within, for my heart was heavy laden with the weight of sin. And the chorus goes like this. There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. There's a new song in my heart, 'tis a heavenly melody. All my sins are washed away in the blood of Calvary. Oh, what peace and joy nothing can destroy. There's a new song in my heart. What a wondrous transformation in my life has wrought when I trusted Christ my Savior and his pardon sought. These are the verses. Someday I will go to heaven where the angels sing, and I'll join their happy chorus, praising Christ the King. I shall never cease in praising Jesus Christ my Lord for the wonderful salvation that he did the chord. There's a new song in my heart since the Savior set me free. I think, you know, whether we're singing outwardly, the song ought to be in our heart. We ought to have a song of praise and adoration and love for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, there's new heavens and a new earth, and we're almost done, so don't get too panicky. There's new heavens and a new earth. This pertains to our future eternal hope and glory with Jesus. This old heaven and earth is going to pass away, and God is going to make a brand new heaven and earth wherein dwell righteousness and perfect holiness. There will be no more sin, no more curse, but only peace, joy, and glory forevermore. I'll read just a few verses quickly to speak about the new heaven and earth. Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 65, verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." 2 Peter 3:13, "Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Peter speaking of the promise of Isaiah there. Revelation 21, 1, there is at the very end of the millennial age of things, "I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Those are some of the things that Christians have to look forward to. A whole new heaven and new earth. No wicked man's influence, no corruption, no death, none of those things that plague our old world today. Be a place where God the Father and God the Son will dwell there in New Jerusalem upon their thrones, and the church, the bride of Christ, will dwell there eternally, and all the saints of God throughout all the earth will bring their glory and honor into that place, and there will be no night there, no, not the need of the sun or moon, for the glory of God and of the Lamb will be the light thereof. Well, in conclusion this morning, Revelation 21:5, where we started, says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." In conclusion, Jesus said, "I make all things new." A new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new mansions, new bodies, new perfect sinless natures, new names, new friends, new relationships, new fellowships. All things in heaven will be brand new. So how does this tie in with the new year? Well, some of us may have never known any of these new things that we're discussing this morning. Perhaps you've not come to know Jesus, the new and living way, or come to see his death on the cross for your sins, nor ever seen the new covenant of God that he made with his Son and its people, nor ever experienced the new birth from above, or been given a new heart or a new spirit from the Lord, or been made a new creature in Christ, nor been given the new man, nor the new, blessed, wonderful life that Jesus has for you. It's a new year beginning tomorrow. Don't you think it's time to commit your trust to Jesus Christ and come to him for salvation and eternal life? Don't you think it's been long enough? There's one more day in 2023. Time is ticking away, but it is not too late to be saved this year. Maybe you'll be one of the last fruits of the Lord that he will harvest before he comes again to receive his own one day soon. The harvest will be over. The Lord's still harvesting the few remnants out there, but it's almost over. The Bible says, Jeremiah 8:20, it says, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Is that you this morning? I hope and pray not. Harvest is past. Summer is in. We are not saved. You know, the harvest is going to be past. Christians, are we living by the new commandment of love one another? You know, if church members would love one another, as Jesus loved us, as he commanded us, we would have the perfect church. You want a perfect church? Love one another as Jesus loved us. That's the prescription for a perfect church. We loved our neighbors as ourselves. We would have, you know, a happy and peaceful relationship with those around us. If we loved lost sinners like we should, we would be a better witness to them of Jesus our Savior. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Are we living by that rule? Do we have a new song in our hearts this morning? Even praise unto our God. Lord, help us to be joyful, God-praising Christians, that others may see and hear Jesus in us. And finally, are we looking and waiting and watching for the coming of the Lord and the new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness? And for the new Jerusalem to come down out of heaven. It won't be long now, as Brother Balmer used to say in his monkey joke, but anyway. It won't be long now. Be ready, be watching, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Well, that's all we have for this morning. Hope and pray that the Lord's blessings will be upon each and every one for the remainder of this year and for the coming year. This might be the very day, the very time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. I know we say it often, his coming is soon, but you know, it is soon. It is soon. Be ready. Be watching. Be diligent for the coming of our Lord draw nigh. Okay. Well, thank you.